Hi, this is Katie Day, and welcome to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women across the globe. Sometimes it is the small acts and achievements that can create the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They will make you laugh, sometimes they may make you cry. They will always inspire you. Today, it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing Beverly Bramwell. Beverly is the founder of Embrace Your Ambition. This is a global community for women to confidently embrace their ambitions and dreams. Beverly is a success coach and believes that an ambitious woman should be supported and encouraged. And she provides plenty of that, along with challenge, when her clients are hiding out and limiting their beliefs. Beverly has started a podcast interview series called Her Career Confidence. Beverly interviews women who are creating success on their terms, but who also share their vulnerabilities and triumphs along the way. Beverly is a speaker and workshop leader on confidence building and how to embrace your ambition. Welcome, Beverly. Thank you very, very much for being interviewed. I love the title, Embrace Your Ambition.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I particularly like the word embrace. Because it's quite, for me, it's quite a feminine word. It's not like strive for your ambition, you know, aim towards your ambition, which are kind of quite hard, yes, masculine words. Embrace, for me, is a word that comes from the heart, yes, and it's very feminine-centered. Was that thought behind, or did that title come up organically?
It came organically, if I'm honest, because I had always been working with women and some men, because I don't work exclusively with women. And the idea was that people were getting to grips with the thing that they really wanted to do. And I was at a branding workshop, not expecting to do this, but more to think about the work that I did and how perhaps we could brand it. Because I didn't really have a brand other than my name, and I talked about confidence and motivation and things like this. And Embrace Your Ambition came to me, and I was like, whoa. I thought, that works. And you're right, the embrace is soft, but ambition quite sort of clear about what we're talking about. And what I had discovered, and I still notice, that women... Okay, let's go back a bit. When I hear the word, she's an ambitious woman, normally what I see is other women either rolling their eyes, and it's women who do this more than even men, or there's that face, she's ambitious, and there's a face that goes with it, as if somehow
it's
wrong.
Yeah, I know.
And I meet women who I know want to do more than they are doing now. Not that they hate what they're doing, sometimes they do, but it's more about they have desires, they have ambitions. However, they don't, and they settle. And the reason they settle is because they, and they is this word I hear, they don't know what they might think. They might be their friend, mm-hmm, they might be their partner, they might be their family. And because of not wanting to have those conversations or explain why they want to do this, leave their job, write a book, sail around the world, whatever it is, they don't. Yeah. And what I'm saying is, it's okay to be ambitious. It's okay to actually want whatever that dream is that you have. Mm. And I think the more often that women do that, the more we won't see this idea of an ambitious woman being a bad thing. Mm. Men can be ambitious, that's great. Women, No.
It's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, you'd think in the 21st century, wouldn't you, with all the changes that, yes, have taken place, that we would have felt comfortable with that word. But you're absolutely right. We really don't. And I do this stuff. I do this work. And I sometimes really, if I describe myself as an ambitious woman, and I have just recently come out from the closet, yes, and said, absolutely, I am really, really ambitious. But this is what I'm ambitious for. And this is why I'm ambitious. Yes. But there was still that nagging thing that I somehow have to justify it.
Yes, there's a whole sentence that has to go behind
that
it.
That has to follow.
I'm doing this because. And if a man says I'm ambitious, stop. Mm. Mm. There isn't some great thing I want to do, and I want to change the world. Mm. It's okay. Mm. And that's absolutely right. You have to come out and then explain, as if it's like, is it okay? Like, we're sort of seeking some approval. And even when I say that I'm a coach, I use the word success, it's not just about coaching, it's about the fact that I'm interested in success. And I said my company's called Embrace Your Ambition. I watch the reaction.
Dear.
And it's interesting, so I'm like, And I think some people, even that as a phrase, it's confronting. Mm. And it may therefore put some women off. I think, oh God, what does that mean? And what I'm saying is, I want you to live your best life. Your best life. Because I know you'll all know the phrasings about, you know, life is not a dress rehearsal, we only get one chance. All of those things. However, the reality is, it is true. We only have the one life. And you don't want to look back and think, I wonder what would happen if I'd done that, if I had written the book, if maybe I had gone part-time and started my business on the side, maybe if I had decided to leave the job that I want, and this job, that I, and go for the job I really want, and maybe if I had decided that I don't want to do this anymore, or I really want to be CEO of the organisation. And I don't see anything wrong saying I want to be CEO, or I want to be the director, or I want to be in charge of my own destiny, frankly. But you're right, where we are now, it is still a case of justifying, explaining, getting people to understand. And why do I have to get people to understand this? That I am me, and this is the business I want to run, and this is what I want to do.
And to get rid of the guilt and the self-censor.
Oh, gosh. Guilt. Could write chapters about that. We do it to ourselves.
We do?
Yes, I know that we think externally people are going to judge us, and they will, but sometimes they're not judging you in the way that you think they're judging. They may be judging you thinking, oh God, I wish I could do that. Because sometimes you're thinking they're judging because, oh my God, look at her. And maybe they are, but often I think it's more about the fact that I wish I could be like her, and I could take that step. And sometimes the step isn't very long or very big to say, well, I want to do this. So often that's what the judgment's about. Oh my God, she's doing and it and I'm not.
Aspects of femininity as well. It's still, I see it so often when I'm doing the leadership work with women, that it's not deemed feminine, in inverted commas, to strive. And to want. To run, to be the CEO of the organisation.
Nice girls don't want
it. Nice girls don't do it. You know, we fulfil other people's expectations before we fulfil our own. And it's not the dumb thing still. And it's interesting. I've just come back from a trip to India. And on the flight out, I was watching the film Suffragette, which I missed when it was on a mainstream release. And I found that incredibly moving of what those women put themselves through. And that steely determination. And there was one particular phrase when the main character was being interviewed by the police, and she said, we're 50% of the population, you can't keep us all quiet. And I thought, yeah, and that was in the early 1900s, and we're still saying it.
And we're still 50% of the population.
And we're still 50% of the population.
So it's that's not going to change. But yet we still, and it is conditioning, and it is because other people say that's what how they were raised. And I think at the time, that was right for them. However, that was then, and this is now.
This is now.
But this idea that nice girls don't do this, and nice girls don't do that, and therefore, if you want to buck the trend, you're not a nice girl. And we all want, ultimately, to be loved and liked, therefore we won't buck the trend, we won't buck anybody's ideas, we won't make anybody feel uncomfortable. So therefore, we'll just settle.
People please us.
Absolutely. So we'll just settle, and I probably think it might be slightly martyrdom. Am I being unkind? Possibly. But I do think there's some of that, like, well, you know, quiet life. And I know we've all done things at times for quiet life, but this is your life.
It is.
And I think you owe it to yourself to say, well, I gave it a go. It might not work. You might fail. I can talk about stuff that I thought I wanted and I got, and ultimately, maybe it was for me, but then it came to a point where no longer it was for me, and I was dispatched into the big wide world, but I wouldn't have it any other way. At least I did it.
At least you did it. At least you tried.
And also, for me, it's made me a different person by doing it. I discover things about myself. You discover what you can endure, what how you can overcome certain things. If something happens, you think, well, if it happened again, yeah, I'd handle it. So that in itself is a lesson. But I don't want to look back and think, well, what if I had, you know, when I was much younger, just thought, well, somebody asked me to marry them, so yeah, okay, I'll get married and I'll have... I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those things before I say that, but had I gone down the path of just getting married and just thinking about that, and maybe not thinking about a career, I knew at that point that wasn't my path at that time. I'm not saying it's not for everybody, that wasn't my path at that time. And so therefore, this I felt was my path, and off I went.
Good for you, good for you.
But it, you know, it does buck the trend, and I know there are people in my life who don't like it.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay, we won't go there. That's for another interview or another conversation over a glass of wine later, probably. So tell me more about Embrace Your Ambition. How long have you been doing this work? What sort of women have you worked with and what changes have you seen in them?
I think I've always been doing it, but it was branded in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And that was a realisation, that was what I really wanted. Sometimes you don't know what it is you're doing, you just think, okay, I'm helping people to... the word embrace wasn't there. They're going after their dreams, I'm helping them to do that, and they're stepping up and they're creating these results, and off they go. And then all of a sudden, this embrace ambition was a download, and I thought, oh wow, I could actually package it under that, because I had no idea about the idea of packaging and the technical side of running a business and what you need to do.
Right.
And all of a sudden I thought, okay, that makes sense. So I have met women and men who... I think one of my best examples is actually a man, because he came and he wanted some coaching. And he said, because he got it on a certain level, but he didn't really want to get too involved in the whole coaching thing. But he said, I could do some of that. He said, and diary-wise, I said, he said, oh, probably about 3 sessions. I said, okay, fine. He was an accountant, he still is an accountant. And he said, but he said, he's always wanted to write. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't really see how the two married.
Okay.
And we did some work around that and the confidence around writing. And his first task, he started writing, and he did a writing course at one of the local colleges while still being an accountant. So he got the journalistic sort of side of things like that. And because in the 3 sessions we had, there's one of the tasks was joining a course and submitting some writing. So he did that, and he submitted some pieces, and he got his work accepted by a couple of magazines.
Oh, fantastic.
He wrote about... finance.
Okay.
He wrote about accounting.
Right.
Things like, you know, self-assessment, January 30th, first deadline coming up, have you done this? How to set up simple systems. So he wasn't out of his comfort zone, but he was writing. And he was writing in a wide range of magazines, fitness, actors.
Wow.
Somebody saw his work.
Oh my gosh.
And said, could you write a book?
No.
I kid you not.
Wow.
I kid you not. Could you write a book? Yeah, okay. I'll write a book. Still on finance, his book is now required reading from I think ICSA, the Chartered Institute of Secretaries, and whatever their full title is. But his textbook.
Oh my gosh, how amazing!
Is required reading.
What a great story.
That's not the end of the story. So, having written, somebody else says, could you write another book? So he's written another book. And I actually have a copy of the first one. He wrote a dedication because he said, who knew that I'd get here? He was doing some training because somebody asked him to do some training based on the book. And it's a room full of accountants from various parts of the world, and he's in London. And somebody from St. Lucia's over, and they said, oh, could you come and do some training for us in St. Lucia?
No way!
It's like, yeah, but you know, you think, you know, people
yeah,
see
right.
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's going to be happening.
Exactly. A few months later, somebody says, yeah, we've got it all sorted now. Can you come to St. Lucia for 3 weeks and do some work for us? Basically, just delivering some training. So him and his partner flew to St. Lucia.
Wow.
For 3 weeks. He delivered training in the evening, because that's how the thing worked, and the day he was left to his own devices. And he sent a message saying, just want you to know, I'm in St. Lucia. They call this work.
As I'm sitting on the beach.
Exactly. But they're paying me to be here on the basis of the fact that, goodness knows how long ago, I wrote some articles because I did some coaching with you, and I'm in St. Lucia.
Wow.
He has travelled doing training around those books. He's still an accountant. He still has an accounting practice.
How amazing.
There you go. He got out of his own way.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Getting out of your own way. I use that phrase a lot. The only person who's going to get in your way is
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. But he accepted, I need some help, and I want to write. Still want to be an accountant, loves being an accountant. And I said, still as an accountant, but look what's happened.
Look what's happened. I mean, who knew? How amazing.
Exactly.
So, good for him.
So
what a great story.
The ripples, so, in you know, in what do we say?
Yeah, he really created ripples. Yeah. Well, you helped him create the ripples.
I also, I facilitate the process.
Yeah.
I facilitate the process. A couple of women, a woman I worked with, she came. She said, I just want some confidence. That was the beginning of the end. She said, I just want some confidence. And I said, okay, we can do some work around that. And she had a job and she liked her job. And she was thinking about, maybe I might leave my job and go and do works part-time so I could do some writing. I don't know why writing seems to come into it. Mm. But her job is full-time. She got promoted while she was there. That's nothing to do with me, I will say. But she said, well... my head was in the right place, so she got promotion while she was there, and she's happy doing what she's doing there. And I suggested, I don't know how we got on top of her speaking. So she came and did a training, she came did one of my workshops. And I said, well, how could you go back and put this into practice? And she said, well, I could do a talk. I said, how many people would you invite? She said, well, I could invite a couple of people and we could have a meeting. I said, okay, that's fine. did at lunchtime, a lot of people. So we meet next, she said, well, I did the talk, and I had about a dozen people at the talk. But the entire workforce came, what? And it's for half an hour. There's a woman who doesn't have any confidence and can't speak. So she's got a dozen people and she's given a talk.
And this is in her work? What was the talk on?
She was talking about what happened at the workshop and how to raise her visibility. I said, did you know that you just told me that when we discussed you doing this, because I said, I'm setting you a challenge, and I do challenge my clients, and I said, this challenge of doing the talk and the face you made, and we agreed you could do two people, and it would be for 10 minutes. And you were still like, oh, well, yeah, I don't know. And I said, well, have a go. And when we meet next, you can tell me how you got on. I said, you have to have a go. Even if it's for 5 minutes and it's for one person, but I want you to have a go. And tell me what happens and what feelings you have. So when I meet with her next, and she had a dozen women, and this happened, I'm like thinking, okay, she's got it then. And then all of a sudden she discovered that some of her time that she has in the evening, she could write. Because what was happening was that she had a bit of chaotic bedroom, whatever else, and she thought, if I actually organise myself, I could actually get a desk in there, I could do a bit of work. So, because she used to write, she was back now writing, still doing her full-time job, still seeing her friends, because she had this feeling it was either one or the other.
You're right.
And also she's now back writing, she was publishing things with this e-zine that she's involved with, still seeing her friends and working. And also this person had changed her face, her physiology. She couldn't stop smiling and she couldn't stop laughing at that. She said, I can't quite believe this happened. I can't believe I gave a talk. I can't believe I'm now writing. I can't believe I'm now doing this stuff at work. I've got responsibility. I said, yeah. And then you say, I did it. I said, but you did this. Mm. I said, I facilitate the process, but you did this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you think you got your confidence now? She goes, and then she started laughing because that's all she actually came for.
It was confidence.
Yeah. But what she created ultimately as a account of that. But again, as I always say, and I say to people at the very beginning, I will push you. Not to places where you don't want to go, but I will push you, simply because we need somebody who's not in our space to say, try this, explore that, see how this feels. Because I never get into anything that I think will be detrimental, but I will get you to step out of that comfort zone. Sometimes I will say, use the word comfort zone, but I will just get you to see what could happen.
Well, we don't have to do anything, actually. Exactly. But it's a shame not to come out of our comfort zones and stretch ourselves, isn't it? It's a real shame. Because just think what could be achieved. You know, when I look back and I think, and I'm constantly coming out of my comfort zone. You know, I say yes to everything and then figure out the details later.
Exactly.
That doesn't always work. But 9 times out of 10 it works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh my God. But I think it's fine. I'll figure it out. It's fine. But when I was younger, I was frightened of my own shadow.
Absolutely.
And I wonder how different my life would have been, how much more quickly my life would have been different if I hadn't been so fearful of the world and everything in it. And I think a lot of people, but predominantly women, because again, it's something about showing off.
Yes.
And being that visible and raising your profile that much and saying, hello world.
Here I am.
And there's something that it's really not the dumb thing, is it? We're the servers and the receivers and the negotiators and the mediators. We're not the people leading.
No, and therefore people who do
lead. Are, but it's still not.
Yes, and therefore that is why whenever we do see women leading, we do something. And there's that sort of we scrutinise.
What does she sacrifice to get where she is? Yes. And it's really wrong that the world still sees women that way.
And I don't think you have to. Yes, you might need to buy help. You might need to have some support. But I know people say we shouldn't go for this. You can have it all. So I have stepped away from that phrase. However, I do believe that you can have the life that you want.
Mm.
It may need to be organised a certain way for it to be achieved, but it is achievable.
It is, and it still worries me that in the 21st century we still only have the phrase the working mother and not the working parent. And it is this projection of the world on women that's still there, and
women,
I think it really holds women back.
Must be a certain way.
Mm.
Whether they be actresses, whether they work in the boardroom, they must be a certain way. And woe betide if you decide to change that, even incrementally.
Mm.
There's that sort of like, somebody, if a woman is appointed now to a senior position in a organisation, it's news. Mm. I'm not saying a man being appointed isn't news, but it is news. And we will look at the fact she's married, not married, has kids, doesn't have kids, her age.
What she's wearing, which really annoys me.
Is she overweight? Because if I won't say that she's overweight, we'll bring into the fact what her body looks like.
Yeah, and how attractive she is or...
Yes, or not.
Or not. I mean... Men don't get this scrutiny, do they?
We don't talk about... And he was wearing a grey suit and had pinstripes.
No, no.
And that tie didn't go with the shirt.
And he could do with losing a few pounds.
Yes, and he could have done with a haircut.
That really makes me so angry.
I do think we'd do this as well, because a job will be advertised. Mm. And I've seen this with my own eyes. A job will be advertised. Let's say it's going for £75,000. And a man will see that and he thinks, okay... And he'll look through the spec.
I know what you're going to say.
Maybe he's looked at about two or three of them. Yeah, I can do that. But he isn't just thinking about the fact I can do that. He's thinking, yeah, well, I'm on 65. So I could get 75. Well, that's just the starting place. I'll probably negotiate. See if I can get 80 out of them. He's already got the package in his head.
Yeah.
And he hasn't gone into the fact that, do I need to lose weight? Do I need to get my hair cut? Should I get it coloured? I wonder if I can fit the manicure in. He's already seen himself inside the room. He may not be consciously visualising himself, but he is inside the room. They're shaking hands and he's negotiating the package. He hasn't had the interview yet.
So true.
Women, okay, same job. Oh, 75. Don't know. Can I even go? It's a bit of a leap. So therefore there's that first thing. Can I even have that money? So we get over that. Then we're looking through the list. Well, I can do the first six. Well, but that seventh, I don't know if I can do this. Well, I don't know. We'll have to give a further thought about whether I can do the seventh. Okay, maybe we've got over all of it. We've got inside the room. Maybe we get the job. And maybe they say, okay, 75. Do we ask for 77? Do we ask for the 80? Well, I don't know. And there's all this stuff going on. And then if we don't get it, what does it mean? I'm not good enough, I was overweight, my hair was the wrong colour, da 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 da. Guy doesn't get it, he's like, yeah, they're bloody lost, I didn't get it.
Yeah,
on to
absolutely.
The next job.
Absolutely.
He won't take to his bed and think, okay, I'm going to have some chocolate and drink and talk to my friend.
Yeah.
Oh God, what happened to me, I'm not good enough. It's like, yeah, it's their loss. Next.
There's something better waiting for me.
Yes.
It's so true.
Exactly. They didn't want me, it's their loss. And on we go. But there isn't this whole, can I have that money?
Mm.
Can I have
Do
that
I
money?
Deserve it? Am I worth it? Am I worthy of it?
Those conversations don't occur.
I don't.
It's more, can I get 80? Do you think they'll give me a car? Do you think I'll get 85?
Mm.
Do you think they'll go that far?
Mm.
Okay.
What will the package be worth?
Yeah. Maybe I'll get 83.
True.
Can I get the car?
So true.
And what car can I have?
Mm.
So... They talk about, if we're being woo-woo, about creating the end point about what we want. But men do that. They may not say they're being woo-woo, and probably a lot of them are really shocked. But they are thinking, what's the package? I could get that. Okay, I need to move. Okay, find the kids to move. And all that stuff. But they're thinking about the end. And I think it was COVID, but, start with the end in mind. They're starting with the end in mind. I've got the job.
Mm. And then work backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could do through those. Yes, fine.
It's true.
And I have seen men who, on paper, have clearly met my spec when I've interviewed and thought to myself, no. And they're just blabbing and stuff. And I think, you're making it up as you go along. No, you're not getting this job. You're not getting this. But on paper, look great.
Yeah.
But that's all it was.
Yeah, just on paper. Just the surface. You scratch the surface and underneath it's a big gaping hole.
You know, we're discussing the job you're going for and you haven't got a flipping clue. Yeah, fine.
Interesting.
And the reason I mentioned that is because I remember interviewing this guy. It was two jobs. We had quite a big lot of applicants, a manager at the time, a lot of applicants, and I think we ended up with like an eight person list of people to interview, but we were two posts, it was fine. And this guy, on the face of it, was fine, but when he came and we had the interview, I remember thinking, you didn't do this form.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh.
You didn't do this form. Someone wrote this, but you didn't do this. So he couldn't answer questions well. So, and it was we had a panel, so it wasn't just me being biased. He couldn't answer questions well. He didn't have a clue. Fine, so he doesn't get the job. So I write to them all saying, I don't got the job. If you'd like some feedback. And most people don't want feedback. Of course, he decides he does want feedback. So he emails me and says, could he have some feedback? And I, said, Sandra's very high. da 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 da, and you didn't get it, because that's usually enough. He'd like specific feedback. So I'm on the phone, and I didn't tell him that actually you were a waste of space, you didn't know what you were doing, but I had to sort of say, well, you know, you weren't as strong here as, you know, as we would have liked some of the other candidates who were. But he was dreadful. He didn't have a clue, but his ego was like, I don't see why I didn't get the job. And so I really wanted to chat to him as to why I hadn't got the job, and I'm thinking, yeah, isn't it interesting? You had the job as far as you were concerned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever wrote that application did a very good job, but you clearly...
But you can follow through on it.
You can deliver your side of the bargain on that whatsoever. Wow.
You say you also do workshop leaders, speaker, confidence building workshops. Tell me more about those. Were they before the coaching? Did they come as a result of the coaching?
It's quite funny. I have always been interested in workshops, used to go to them when the first sort of personal development thing started. And I really liked the idea that the work you could do. And one thing I was aware of, when people asked questions, that the person who's leading the workshop, I didn't know that they were coaching, but they were doing something. They didn't just answer questions and say, they were coaching. And I thought, well, if I want to run workshops, then I want to have that skill that I can coach people.
Right.
So that was how the coaching came to be.
Okay, interesting.
So I was still doing workshops on and off. So I did lots of work in the voluntary sector.
Okay.
And I had contracts around... I did financial management. That was my first place. That was my first big thing. But also I did lots of management staff and confidence building. And so it sort of spread from there. So I learned how to be a coach because I trained to be a coach. So I could do this. And in training to be a coach, I thought, wow, this is fantastic.
Mm.
And of course, you have to do your practical training as a coach. And I loved it. And that's where the coaching came from. But I didn't set out and thinking, I want to be a coach. But then it was almost like...
Just wanted a skill set.
Yes. And then having this discovery, it was like, I felt I was born to do it. So then, because when I was training, I used to coach people for nothing. It didn't bother me at that time because it was all learning. Mm. But the experiences, and the people got the same results, whether they were paying or not paying. I'm not advocating that you come to me for free now, boys and girls. I'm just saying that at that time, I gave my ultimate nevertheless.
Yeah.
And loved it. And so that's how the coaching began. And I was doing some workshops for her invitation, because they...
Oh, okay.
How to increase your power and influence. I don't do them now, so that was the workshops I did for them. I was running workshops under my own sort of banner, and I sort of had this sort of idea about running something around embrace your ambition. And so, although I put it down, it doesn't exist in its current form, and I want to think how that might appear as maybe a place that we have a conversation about how women can do that. I don't, it'd be just me standing on my soapbox saying you need to embrace your ambition, everybody, you need to embrace your ambition. But I see something about having some skills to enable women to get out of their way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an idea that's there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's going to evolve organically.
Yes.
So tell me about her Career Confidence podcast. How did that start?
I liked the idea of speaking, and I still do speak. But I thought, what else could I do? And again, I sound like I just sit there and stuff. It did. I thought, podcasts, that'd be an idea. And then I thought, I'll just do me talking. And I thought, even I will get fed up with him after a few minutes. And then I thought, I could interview women. So this was me stepping out of my comfort zone by approaching women to say, well, would you be interviewed? And people said, yes. Oh, okay.
Marvellous.
So now I have to interview them. So that's how that came. The name, I started off with this confidence thing, and I was playing around with the whole idea of confidence and career. And then one day, I just thought, Her Career Confidence. I was on the bus thinking, Her Career Confidence. And I played with that, and I thought, yeah, it feels right, actually. So Her Career Confidence became the name of the podcast. And so they've launched now, so yeah.
So how long have they been going?
It's the second week, actually.
Oh, my gosh, it's very new.
Oh, yes. Second week.
Oh, fantastic. And where do they go out, or how can people listen?
They can sign up, basically, because I haven't released them onto iTunes. I've decided to just keep them as an opportunity for people to sign up, so therefore they join my community, because I want to create this Embrace Your Ambition community, and I thought, well... My podcast might be worth doing, because the podcasts are free. So therefore, you can join my list, and so therefore, the new podcast released. I've got about a dozen of these podcasts. I lie. It started off as a dozen, we're up to like 15.
And people are now saying, can I be interviewed? So maybe more. But the idea is you join my community and they're sent to you via email each week. And
I see.
They're no longer than about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And as I said, you can download them or you can listen to them on your iPhone. I should say that, smartphone, tablet, the web. But the idea is you take some time for yourself. And they're weekly. So therefore, I think we can all spare 20 minutes out of our time just to get some inspiration and to hear about women who have triumphed, who have had struggles, who have got out of their own way to create the success on their terms. So there are a wide range of women, and I just found it quite interesting as a subject to explore. And I thought, well, it's a way for people to hear these messages. Also, the people who are speaking also sharing with their community. But when I first started to Embrace Ambition, I thought it was being this global community of women who are out there doing their thing. And it's not about kicking ass or striving, that sort of, it's just actually about embracing their ambition.
Yeah, you say you want it to be a global community.
Yes.
How global is it currently?
I've got Americans and I've got Brits.
Okay. But that's pretty good.
So far, yes.
Yeah. Do you have your eye on any particular part of the world that you would like to embrace women?
America, and because I like going there a lot, but I think there's an awful lot of work to be done.
Yeah, you and me both. It's a great place.
but that said, there's a lot of work that can be done right here.
Sure.
America, and because I have to like going, and I love being in New York, and I love being in LA. I think in some cases they are ahead of us on the curve on that, but at the same time, maybe my English accent might give me a chance there.
Oh, it goes down a treat. And this radio program goes out mainly in Southern California,
right?
But and the East Coast as well, but mainly the West Coast of America. And I nearly emigrated there a few years ago because I just had to open my voice, and people thought I knew what I was talking about.
Well, it's amazing.
It's only about that English accent.
It's just interesting for the podcast.
And I just love America.
I did my sort of opening spiel before we start. And that's the first, oh my God, I love your accent. And so therefore she was fascinated by the fact that what I'd said about her, even though she had written what I had said about her, so therefore I'm just relaying this to my audience. Yeah. But she loved the idea of hearing what I'd said about her in this accent. And I was like, okay.
Because we don't think we've got one, have we?
No,
we don't think
exactly.
We've got an accent.
Exactly. she was in that, that's the place that she was in.
Yeah, what also I love about Americans, well, the ones I've met, I mean, there's an awful lot of them, and most of them I haven't met, but I have met an awful lot, is the sense of get up and go,
yes.
The can-do attitude, and also the fact that they celebrate success.
Yes, yes.
I love that about American culture, that it tends to celebrate success. And in Britain, we do have this unfortunate habit of building people up and then taking perverse pleasure and kicking them back down
absolutely.
Again. Which really gets me down
just,
a bit.
Just so you can remember your place.
You don't get too big for your boots now. Just remember.
Exactly. So, of course, with those types of lessons about not getting too big for your boots, not standing up to, you know, not putting your head above the parapet, and all those types of phrases, is it any wonder?
It doesn't help, does it?
That women say, well, why would I bother?
This
feels okay. This will be all right.
This is safe.
Yes.
This is, don't want to draw attention to myself.
People have accepted this. You know, maybe at the time when they got it, people made it up. But they've accepted it now. So this is okay.
Yeah.
And I can feel those little heads going and they're sort of bobbing in their seats. This is okay. And I'm thinking, if I heard you meant it, then I'd be fine. But I'm not hearing that you meant it.
Yeah.
Energetically, I'm not hearing that.
Yeah.
And that's what I go by, the fact, the energy behind
do
it.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you're loving what you do, you don't need to tell me you're loving it, because I can tell.
Yeah. Good point.
I can tell in really the language you write, I can tell in the things that you tell me, I can tell me how you explain yourself, that you're loving it. If I'm not getting that energetic, then I'm thinking, yeah, there is some work here. But also, as I said, I know that for some women, the word ambition, and I did for a while think about changing, and I thought, no, it stays.
Good.
But I do have to explain, because I'm just aware of the fact that for some women, even hearing the phrase, embracing your ambition is confronting.
Mm.
It is confronting. And I'm thinking how I can say, yes, I understand you're confronted. However, it's still okay to want that. And there's nothing wrong in wanting that and wanting to be your best self. But finding other language that sort of sits underneath it when I talk about it, that they think, okay, I might want to explore this further. Because there are some women who have embraced their ambition. Okay, I've got this sorted. And I think, yeah. The fact that you say that, you probably haven't. Because the journey to get from where you've got to here was not straightforward. And maybe my support you need from me is quite different support. It isn't, because I call myself a success coach, but it isn't always about coaching. It's about providing that supporter, that champion, that challenger who's in your corner exclusively for you, But you can tell your deepest, darkest secrets too. Mm-hmm. But you can say that I can't do this. How do I do that? Mm. And what do you think? And that's part of the work I do. When I talked about how I did financial management years ago. Yeah. And I started working in a school in Kensington, Chelsea, in wonderful Sloane Square. And the head and I got on really well. So although I was discussed the budget and how many school dinners or whatever else needed to happen and price of teachers, we had other conversations. And she went to a conference and she told her other colleagues about this person called Beverly. I've got Beverly. And she's wonderful and she does these things. And they'd vote and say, are you Janice's Beverly? Yes, I'm Janice's Beverly. And I would have conversations about the budget, but also about the stuff that I need to do this for these teachers, and this teacher isn't really cutting the mustard, and I need to do that. And we had those conversations as well. So I had context around the fact that it wasn't just about the budget and whether or not we have five teachers, two teachers, one teacher, whatever else. And I became, and they knew that they could tell me anything. Even though I worked at that, eventually I was working across the entire borough.
Wow.
And practically every head teacher I had done some work.
Oh my God.
Because there were only so many primary schools, and I worked in probably all of them at some point in time. Because then you could tell me anything, they could say anything. I knew about their schools, but not in the way, I didn't have to get too bothered about whether or not they were three form entry, one form entry. But as regards how they worked, what they needed, what their anxieties were, how we need to bring that together, that was it. And so that's what I understood about the fact that it wasn't just about me saying, okay, your budget's about doing this and this, this. They're intelligent, they know that. It was about some nuances of that they needed. And I understand that with my coaching, it's some of those nuances as well. The fact that I will say, just try it on for size. Just try on this idea. And I can see the face. Okay, just try it on for a minute. This idea that you could speak and you could do this. Just see how it goes. And I do often use language like that. Just try it on and see. But also, I will say, so why did you say you were doing that? What does that mean? And it can be as gentle as that. Mm. I'm never going to be brutish and say, and start swearing at them, and I'm the great whatever it is. But I like to think that I can draw things out of people. And people do tell me things.
You have a very calm energy, Beverly. And
thank
I could
you.
See how people would be drawn to you to coach, because there's something, I'm trying to think of a phrase. There's sort of a robust gentleness. Were the two words that came to my mind.
Yes.
You know, so there's something very determined about
yes.
you
yes.
that I can see that absolutely you'd be on your client's side
mm.
with the gentleness as well, mm. but you're not gonna let people get away with pulling the wool over your eyes.
Yes.
Or over their eyes,
yes.
actually.
So I'm very clear and direct. But yes, there's a gentleness there at the same time. Mm. And I think there's a need for both. And I will use them in different amounts, depending on who's sitting in front of me or whether I'm on the phone. And yeah, because the last man I coached was, I was doing some work for him around mediation in his organ and conflict resolution. That's what I was actually there to do. And we did that, and that worked out well, and that was fine. And we were having a sort of wrap-up conversation. And we were sitting in a local cafe, having a cup of tea and wrapping up how things went. And he leant in, he said, you coach? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He knew this already. And he said, would you coach me? He said, I know you coach women. So I've looked at your website. Would you coach me? What do you want to do? And he explained that about 6 months' time, he thought this job was coming up and he wanted to get me ready for it.
Mm.
Okay, that's fine. So that was the subtotal of my coaching conversation, having to market myself. That was it. So we were doing the work and there was some stuff about getting him out of his own way. But all of a sudden, there was a bit of two curveballs happened. His father was ill, and his father died. And the other thing that happened was the job that was 6 months away, all of a sudden was 2 weeks away.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And they actually coincided with his father dying.
Oh my gosh.
And they said, you know, we're happy to wait. And he said, no, I actually want to do this. So I got an email saying, interviews on Monday. They said, I can put it off, but they've interviewed everybody else. It's only me they're waiting on. And I want to do it on Monday. Can you coach me? I said, well, I can't do any face-to-face, because we used to meet face-to-face, because it was an organisation I'd done some work for previously, so I was happy to go there. So we'd have to do it on the phone. He said, yeah, that's fine. And I explained what we'd do. And I can remember it was Friday morning. I'm standing in my kitchen, talked to him on the phone, and I'm coaching him for this interview on Monday. And there was some stuff about things he needed to think about, but also about, you know, things that I hope he doesn't do when he gets into that interview. And he has the interview and he gets the job. And when we meet up for his coaching session, he said, I was in full flow. He said, then all of a sudden I caught myself about to go into that, because he had this thing where sometimes he could sabotage himself or he'd say stuff. And he said, I was about to do it. And he said, then I remembered, but would say, and why are we doing that? And he caught himself, because obviously he heard the, why are we doing this? And he was back on track.
Fantastic.
Like, yeah.
Brilliant. We're coming to an end. Very quickly, what's the future hold for Beverly?
Spreading message of embracing your ambition.
Wonderful.
My Her Career Confidence podcast is a tool of itself to get women to just listen, to take some time out, and to understand that you don't have to do things the way they are, but really it's about spreading the word of embracing your ambition. So if people want to come and speak at their meetings or to their groups, happy to do so. If you'd like a coach, I think I'm your girl, trust me. But yes, that's where I see my sort of future.
Brilliant. Thank you, Beverly. It's been an absolute joy. I've really, really enjoyed speaking with you.
I have too. Thank you.
So this has been Kay Today with Creating Ripples. Listen in and be part of the revolution that is rocking the world. Women are the new future, particularly women over 50. We are awesome, fearless, fabulous, inspiring, passionate, courageous. In fact, we just rock. And we're ambitious.